I'm so glad you've joined us today for our face-to-face ladies' Bible study. I wish we were face-to-face. It'll certainly be a joy to be able to resume at our regular 9:15 a.m. times on Tuesday morning. But instead of that, right now, we have to settle for this podcast and our desire to just keep you going in your study of what it means to have a genuine, disciplined life. As you know, we are utilizing the book as our textbook, Discipline, The Glad Surrender, from Elizabeth Elliot. My, what a blessing she has been over the years, and we're thankful that God used her after the tragedy with her first husband as he was martyred for the cause of Christ. And she deals with discipline in a way that really gets it out of the human perspective and gets it into a divine perspective. It's all about answering God's call and by faith making the choices to allow God to change us. It's really discipleship. It is not self-actualization. It is not us trying to become really something that's going to make us feel better. It's all about having God develop us so that we can have a life that's really productive and useful in the cause of Christ. Our last time together, we talked about the importance of the steps of faith that we have to make. We can't be passive, can't just sort of drift along. And on the other hand, we got to be very careful about being self-dependent and in this selfish perspective of discipline for whatever cause, to feel better, to look better. No, it's got to be totally looking to the Lord, but understanding we have to take those steps of faith. And to keep that thought going, she then delves into a very difficult subject and does it well. I would encourage you to read chapter 6 a couple of times because she has a good balance on the matter of a sovereign God and man's choice. I don't know of a subject that has been more misunderstood and difficult than this subject, but yet it is really a glorious truth, and I trust we can deal with this today that will be an encouragement to you. It is a wonderful thing to know that God is in control of all things. The creation of man and the creation of our universe is an absolutely marvelous creation. Anyone who just honestly looks at it has to know that there was a master designer, someone who has put it all together and is running it in such a glorious way. And she uses the illustration of a diatom. A diatom is a one-celled speck of algae, and she talks about just the tremendous variety of shapes and the complexity of just one cell and how important it is in the whole food chain for humpback whales and other kinds of sea creatures, and it's just an amazing thing. And so God is the one who is over all. He's the all-powerful God. But she makes the statement that I think is good. The God, the causer of all, also causes us to cause. Here is where you really get down to the right balance on the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. We often think of the sovereignty of God from a human logical standpoint. We think of it as having to be fatalistic. In other words, if God knows the end from the beginning, if he's the cause of all things, then, well, everything's just going to happen as he wills it to happen. But that limits God to human reason, and that's very dangerous. The Bible does not present that type of a God. By the way, that's the God of Islam. It's the God of other kinds of human philosophy and religion. The God of the Bible is far greater than that. And I like to say that God is so sovereign that he is able to be in control of all things and yet give us a genuine free will that allows us to have a dynamic relationship with him. God is the causer of all, but he causes us to cause. She makes the statement, the self-determining power of the individual is part of the ordered predestination of God and of the necessity felt by his love to endow the man with a freedom like his own if he is expected man to respond to his own. And so God, in his love and in his sovereignty, when he created us in his image, he gave us a genuine free will. And he is able to do that, and he is able to be God, yet having a creature, us, able to respond. And so it is one of the most, staggering and humbling truths that a sovereign God has ordained my participation. I'm actually part of all that's going on in the universe. Things that we do have consequences. That's why it was emphasized in our last time together, we must take the steps of faith. You see, a lot of times we can just have a passive kind of idea, well, we're going to trust the Lord, so he's just going to have to make things happen. Well, that's a limited view of God. No, we have to take steps of faith, and that faith then activates God's grace so that we can accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. And so God has ordered the universe that every creature has its unique part, but man is especially unique in having been placed in charge with tremendous liberty. We are to have dominion over the earth. Now, obviously, Satan usurped that complete dominion, but God had created man in his image, and so we have responsibility to carry out the will of God. The illustration is given of a farmer who understands that God is the one that makes everything possible, but he has ordained that a farmer needs to be the one to cultivate the ground, as you find in Genesis chapter 3, so that the curse will be overcome and that there will be a crop and then a harvest. And so it is a cooperative effort. It is an amazing thing. And so we've got to understand the balance. If we forget that there's both the sovereign will of God and the free will of man, we miss the balance. There are two wills. God has so ordained that. And so we can lapse into the fatalism, as I mentioned, of Islam and other types of philosophies, if we dwell only on the sovereign will of God. Hyper-Calvinism can fall in that same trap of fatalism. On the other hand, if we forget the sovereignty of God and see ourselves as independent, we will then become very arrogant, and we will cause ourselves to take the responsibility and leave God out of it. So in both cases, when we fail to do God's will, either by being passive or by doing it independently, we are missing, and get this, accomplishing the will of God. God gives us the privilege of accomplishing his will, and it is a privilege. It is a joy. And we're going to emphasize in this study, as she does, there is freedom when you are lined up with the will of God. Everything works together. It is an amazing reality. And so God has just worked it out that way. And so as we think of discipline is simply agreeing with God about what is best in our life. And we need to have a joyful perspective, the glad surrender. As the theme is here, that we believe that God's will is best and that surrendering to him is what life is all about. The illustration is given about the people of Israel, and they were really in a tough spot. The Egyptians were behind them, and the most powerful army on earth. This was after they had left, after the final plague of the killing of the firstborn, but God had led them in his own will to the Red Sea, and so they were now stuck. They were in despair. In fact, they were furious for Moses getting them into this mess, but Moses knew that God had led them to this point, and that it would be God who would deliver them. Now, God said, Moses, you must go forward. And he said, if you go forward into the sea, then I will do what God can only do. He said, he was to lift up his rod, stretch out his hand over the sea, and divide it. Now, Moses knew that a rod and a human hand could not divide a sea. Impossible. That was going to be something only God could do. But God wanted him to exercise his will, showing his faith and showing the nation of Israel about the importance of their believing God. And so he stood before an immovable object. There's no way that that force of that sea could be overcome and opened up by anything that any human being could do. But when he exercised his will and took responsibility to do what God told him to do, then God caused the wind to come and whatever else happened, and they walked across on dry land. Now, another good illustration is there was a man named Noah who believed God. And God told him that he wanted to deliver him and his family from the worldwide flood that was coming. But it wasn't just a passive thing that Noah was going to just somehow miraculously float on top of the water and be okay. No, God gave very specific instructions about building an ark. And if you ever get a chance to go to the ark encounter down there in northern Kentucky, I encourage you to do it because you'll be amazed at the biblical account about the flood and about the ark. And so God did save Noah, but he saved him by giving him the instructions on what needed to be done. And so Noah worked hard. He obeyed. God gave him strength. And he built the ark over decades of time. It took a long time, but his family was saved. Now, I trust you see in both these cases, you have the sovereign power and the sovereign will of God displayed, and yet you have the clear responsibility of Moses to lead and obey and put the rod and his hand over the sea and head in and have Israel head into the sea with God dividing it. Here you have, in the next story, Noah, who is told of a worldwide flood. He believes that that's going to happen, and he believes God's going to deliver him, but it's going to be through him agreeing with the will of God, the command of God about building the ark. Now, these are very, very important illustrations. She makes this statement I think is very good. When the will of man acts in accord with the will of God, that is faith. When the will of man acts in opposition to the will of God, that is unbelief. Now, I'm going to say that one more time because I want you to get this. When the will of man acts in accord with the will of God, that is faith. That, I think, really helps you understand faith. Faith is when we exercise our will and put our dependence upon what the Word of God says, which is His will. And the minute we act in accordance with what God has said, that is faith. And that's when then the great power of Almighty God begins to do what man cannot do. But when we don't follow that and go our own independent way, that is unbelief. Now, God has chosen to have in the whole system of nature, His creation, all of the different animals and insects and fish and in all parts of creation all need to function so that the will of God in keeping the earth going can occur. He doesn't just keep it going just by His will, though He does hold it all together, but there is the action on the part of all of the creation. But when it comes to man, man has the choice. The rest of the world, created animals and beings, have instinct, and they just truly instinctively follow the will of the of Almighty God. And isn't it amazing? Simple creatures know better than we do. And so we've got to come to the place in our life, if we want to really enjoy freedom and joy, we need to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that every morning. Lord, Your will, Father, Your will be done. I want to willingly and gladly do it because Your will is what is perfect. One college dean observed that the happiest students on any campus are the musicians and athletes. She asked why. He said, because they're disciplined and they volunteer to be disciplined. Isn't that interesting? They volunteer to not do at major times in their life what they really want to do, but they put themselves under a coach or a music director who tells them what to do. Now, it's a volunteer. They don't have to be in the orchestra. They don't have to be on the ball team. They're invited to do so, and they make the team, and they're excited about it. And so they submit to all that the orchestra director has them do and all that the coach has them do. Now, friends, God invites us to be part of His team. He wills that we should be productive and that we can be part of the greatest symphony of beauty and purpose that can ever be found. And so he calls us to volunteer by our will to be part of His great plan. And if we will by faith listen to Him, it's not like we're being coerced and miserable. We are excited, just like a team player on a championship team or an instrumentalist in a wonderful orchestra. They're excited about being part of producing something that is effective, and it's a winning situation or a beautiful product. And so freedom here actually keeps the rules. Joy is there too. There's nothing more joyful than being part of something that is successful. It is a great thing. And so it's a great illustration. If you've ever been around situations where people are just going their own way and there's not order, but there's chaos, I'm telling you, that's frustrating. Nobody's happy. An undisciplined classroom, a situation where there's some kind of event going on, but nobody's really leading it, nobody's really following any kind of order, well, that chaos is not going to produce very much happiness. Great joy comes in the human realm when we are coordinated together to accomplish something. And in a much greater way, a Christian has joy and freedom when they choose to let the great conductor of the universe lead their lives, the great coach of the universe, if I can use that term, discipline us and strengthen us and help us so that we can be part of something that is really going to make a difference. And so there is a great privilege in being under the leadership of the master leader. And I tell you, folks, God will never disappoint us. What He will do with our lives will help us be lifted above the mundane life that so many people live, the chaos of life that brings so much anxiety and frustration, and He will lift us up to be able to see life from a totally different perspective. She tells a story of being able to go to a tower and in Norwich Cathedral and be able to see the countryside and to explore, and how excited she was for that. And I remember I got to go to the top turret of a castle in Northern Ireland, and I had no idea. I'd been in that area for a while. In fact, I think it was my second time there, and it's beautiful, the mountains and the lake that was there. But I'd never been up to one of the towers, and so I was invited to go up to the top of the tower and look out, and I couldn't believe it. I could see all the way to the ocean. I could see things that I had no idea was that close around. All I could see was my limited view. And when we follow God's leadership and will to follow His will, trust Him that His leadership is right, we have the joy of being able to see a much broader perspective of life. It's a wonderful thing. You know, so many times, ladies, you're caught in the responsibilities of being in the home. If you still have children, just a lot of mundane things that you have to do. Or there's just limitations that we have. But, you know, when we really get excited about the will of God and allow Him to change us and to really yield to His will and take steps of faith and believe God and not let discouragement set in and let Him discipline our life, change us, our thinking processes, our whole way we operate, all of a sudden our eyes are opened about the possibilities of life and our view is tremendous. And Christ wants to do that for us. It's an amazing thing. And so God is ready to do a great work in our lives. And so we need to really understand that it is a tremendous privilege to know the Lord, to understand what He's given to us, to see Him as the one that wants to open all aspects of life to us. And if we hold back our obedience, we will not understand the great mystery of God's majesty and His sovereignty and what He is able to enable us to do. We have got to dwell within that real trust in Him as revealed in the Word of God. And so God is ready to work. And you know, it's so wonderful when we trust the Lord and we exercise our wills, believing in His sovereign will, He causes us to be able to operate in ways beyond what we could have thought. He begins to work through us and around us, and His sovereignty does beautiful things that we could never imagine and we could never do. Now, we do have to mention, as is brought out from 1 Thessalonians here in this chapter, that His will sometimes is suffering. His will sometimes does involve trials, and we're in that right now. Many of you are going through trials. We don't like that. But if we can rest in the fact that God knows what He's doing, He's sovereign, and if we will just trust Him and obey Him and exercise our will, that He will take those trials and He will just do magnificent things in our lives. But if we're frustrated, we just try to grit our teeth and get through it, we're going to miss what God really wants to do. So many people get bitter about their sufferings rather than really get a hold of the fact that God's shaping us, He's chastening us for our good, He is molding us, and that if we'll simply, joyfully, gladly surrender to Him, a sovereign God knows what He's doing. I hope you're resting in Him during these days. I hope you're not frustrated. Certainly it is hard not to be, humanly speaking. But I trust that you really believe that your God knows what is best and He knows how to help you. And so we need to learn what it means to live in harmony with the will of God. And we need to realize that God can work. It's so interesting. Herod and Pontius Pilate, they allowed Satan's control over the governments of the world to cause them to succumb to the evil passions of the unbelieving Jewish leaders, and Christ was crucified. And yet, look what happened. Our salvation came through that. God brought great good out of the submission of the Lord Jesus to the will of the Father, our salvation, an amazing thing. So I trust this helps you. God's sovereign will and man's free will, they go perfectly together. They really do. And God is so sovereign, He is so great, that He has a very real bestowal upon us of a genuine free will. We have a real relationship. We're not puppets on a string. It makes a difference whether we believe or not. And God is not responsible for the tragedies that happen in our life because of sin. God is able to deliver. So it does make a difference in what we do, and yet we can believe that God's working in and through, and the best thing is to be in the center of God's will. I'm going to conclude with the statement that it concludes this chapter here. A young woman asked the great preacher Charles Spurgeon if it was possible to reconcile God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. He answered, "Young woman, you don't reconcile friends." And that's really true. Faith is important. So today, you can trust God. This week, you can trust God. But it's your responsibility to yield everything God tells you to do and to believe that the greatest joy and freedom on this planet is for you to be in the center of God's will. Oh, may God help us to see this glorious truth that we are working together with God. God bless you.